This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat Him by His grace to enable me to keep these resolutions, so far as they are agreeable to His will, for Christ's sake. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is episode 3. We have just entered a new year, and you know what that means. It's time for everyone to make their New Year's resolutions. It's time to get back in the gym to lose weight and get in shape. It's time to get more organized, maybe check a few items off of that bucket list. It's time to save more money and drop a bad habit. The list can go on and on. We begin these resolutions with the best of intentions. We want to be healthier. We want to be a better person. We start strong, or so we think, only to give up a month or so later. This attitude makes its way into our spiritual resolutions as well. As Christians, we always begin the new year with a strong desire to read the Bible more, to pray more, love my neighbor as myself, to grow closer to God. All good things. All are things which I'm sure are begun with good intentions, and yet, even those things which are to be common disciplines in the life of a believer are abandoned almost as quickly as they had begun. Why is that the case? I believe it happens for two reasons. First, we do not understand what it means to be resolved. And second, we begin with the wrong motivation. So let's begin by defining terms such as resolution and resolved. So first, a resolution. A resolution is a firm decision to do or not to do something. So when we set out to make a resolution, we are simply deciding what we are or what we are not going to do. Next, resolved. To be resolved is to firmly determine to do something. We can also say that it is to be fixed or anchored and not easily swayed from our decision. We are determined to accomplish that which we have decided to do. The resolution is an act of the mind. It is the decision. But the resolve to accomplish the decision is a posture of the heart. So it is not just the mind that decides to do something. It is also the heart fixed upon accomplishing it. So why does the believer abandon his resolution? Because he is not resolved. He is not anchored in his heart to accomplish his goal. Instead, his heart is fixed to the sinking sands of the world, which do nothing but provide distractions and make it so that you're easily pulled off course. Thus, the resolutions become more of just a checklist of things we want to do, but it really doesn't matter if they're accomplished. Because we are not resolved, we therefore have the wrong motivation. And this leads into the second point. The reason we abandon our resolutions is we have the wrong motivation. The resolutions we as believers contrive are often rooted in selfish desires. Now, you may be asking, how is it a selfish desire to read my Bible more or to pray more? Well, I would answer your question with another question. What is the why behind the I? Meaning, what is your reasoning for accomplishing your goal? Now, to understand what it means for the Christian to be resolved and to have the proper motivation to accomplish his resolution, it would benefit us to take a trip back to the resolutions of a young Jonathan Edwards. Because, after all, we can't do an episode on resolutions without discussing Jonathan Edwards. The quote I read at the beginning of the show was from the preamble from the 70 Resolutions of Jonathan Edwards, which he penned around the age of 18 or 19. Now, just stop and think about that for a moment. 18 to 19-year-olds in our day don't know if they're a boy or a girl. And yet, here's Jonathan Edwards, at 18 to 19 years old, presenting his life in service to God, in full devotion to God. I mean, it's no wonder that God would later use Edwards to ignite the flame of the Great Awakening here in America. Now, what I want to do in this episode is to look at this preamble, as well as some of Edwards' resolutions, to encourage you, the Christ follower, to be resolved and to do so with the proper motivation as we begin this new year. So let's begin with the preamble. Edwards writes, "Being sensible that I am unable to do anything without God's help." Now let's park there for a moment. In our life, we must understand, as Edwards did, the reality of John 15:5, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." A branch that is detached from its source of growth and nourishment will not bear any fruit. And no fruit will be produced from our resolutions if we are not attached to our vine, which is God. We can do absolutely nothing without the help of God. I heard one preacher say it this way. He said, "You can't even tie your shoes without the help of God." Isn't it often that we as Christians seek to accomplish everything by our own power? I mean, how silly is it of us to know that we have a helper with us and yet ignore him in everything that we attempt to accomplish? Instead, we must entreat him or eagerly ask for his help. And we must do so in a humble manner, that is, being in full submission to him. But the purpose of this is not that our will would be satisfied, but that God's will would be satisfied. Therefore, Edwards says, "So far as they," that's his resolutions, "are agreeable to his will." He wants to do and accomplish nothing outside of the will of God. He wants to make sure that the resolutions that he pins are in alignment with the will of God and not his own. His desire is to achieve God's desires, and it is to be done for Christ's sake. And this is really the banner that flies above these resolutions: for the purpose of Christ to be magnified. What glorious motivation that is. Is your goal for Christ to be magnified in your resolutions? Now, let's look at some of Edwards' resolutions. And you can find these online really easily. You just go to Google and type in Jonathan Edwards 70 resolutions. But let's begin with resolution 1. And we're really just going to look at the first clause, because resolution 1 is rather lengthy. But he says, "Resolved." Now remember, unwavering and determined by the help of God. "Resolved that I will do whatsoever I think to be most to the glory of God." What a way to begin your resolutions, that your motivation, your yearning, is to do whatever is most glorifying to God. Typically, we just want to do the things that benefit us. We ask, what do I want for myself? Not, what does God want? Here in Resolution 1, the resolution that really sets the pace for all those that follow, we see the determination to only do that which brings glory to God. But he continues in Resolution 1, doing what is to be most to the glory of God, and my own good, profit, and pleasure in the whole of my duration. What brings the most good for us? What profits us the most? Where are we to find our pleasure? It is in doing the things which are most glorifying to God. But Edwards, he's not looking to do this for certain seasons in life, not only when things are good, not part-time, but in the whole of his duration. The entirety of his life is devoted to the glory of God. In a sense, Edwards is saying here, and in Resolution 63, that his resolve is to be the most Christ-like Christian he can be. Because Christ says he came to do the will of the Father, not his own. And likewise, that should be our longing as well, if we are to be like our Lord. Next, Resolution 5. Resolved, never to lose one moment of time, but to improve it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Here, he's simply saying, redeem the time. Do not waste your life on those things which are nonsensical. Those things of the world which bring death, destruction, and seek to separate you from God. No, you are to make your time count. Your days are numbered. And how much time do we waste just in front of the TV screen? Or with our faces buried in a phone? Now, let me be clear. There is time for relaxation. Our bodies get tired. Our minds get tired. So we are to utilize leisure time or free time in order to relax. But our free time should never be freedom from God time. We can always be reading God's word. We can be having discussions with our families about God and the things of godliness. We can even be in prayer, an often neglected means of grace. We only have so much time, and we must not waste it. Next, Resolution 10, resolved. When I feel pain, to think of the pains of martyrdom and of hell. Now, this is an interesting resolution. You don't typically hear people making resolutions about thinking of martyrdom or of hell. Yet, this resolution, as morbid as it may seem, is intended to ward off complaining. And with our first world problems here in America, we're very good at complaining. I love what Dr. Stephen Lawson says in speaking of Edwards and this resolution. He says, if you were to ask Edwards, he never had a bad day. Not compared to being martyred. Not compared to the flames of hell. Are you a person who has sought a resolution that would put all your complaining into proper perspective? Well, then maybe Edwards' Resolution 10 is one you may consider adopting. Now, finally, we will look at Resolution 56. He says, resolved, never to give over, nor in the least to slacken, my fight with my corruptions, however unsuccessful I may be. Here, it's simple. The resolve is to continually be waging war against the indwelling sin of your flesh and seeking to put it to death. Sin is what seeks to keep us from God. It's what robs us of our joy. It is what steals our hope. Therefore, our resolve, our fixed heart posture, must be to never cease in our fight against it. Now, you may hear all of this and say, yeah, but that was Jonathan Edwards, a giant of the faith. I could never do what Edwards did. I mean, he's considered one of the greatest philosophers to live on American soil, the greatest pastor, the greatest theologian. Martin Lloyd-Jones called Edwards a Mount Everest of a man. Well, this was also the view of a pastor from Dundee, Scotland, named Robert Murray McShane. McShane himself is considered one of the most holiest and most Christ-like pastors in church history. But he would read Edwards' sermons. He would read his journals and diary and say, I could never live up to Edwards. But then McShane would come to realize that even Jonathan Edwards had a borrowed light. So let me encourage you that you do not have to be the next Jonathan Edwards. You do not have to be the next Robert Murray McShane. Instead, you are to use the light that has been graciously given to you in order to glorify God. So as you seek to make resolutions, Jonathan Edwards has 70 you can choose from. McShane has several of his own that you can adopt as well. But make sure that whatever your resolution, be resolved and approach them with the correct heart posture of accomplishing them for the glory of God and the sake of Christ Jesus. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.